In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. The wilderness is a dangerous place. You only go there if you have to. Our children hear this in the godly play curriculum many of the weeks of Lent, and when they hear the stories of the desert, of our patriarchs and matriarchs of faith. If you've helped in the classroom, you are familiar with large wooden sandboxes, and the godly play teachers invite the children to touch the sand and imagine the sun beating down on the scorched, dry landscapes where the biblical characters sought to follow God. The wilderness is a place of jagged rocks, wild animals, and feet that can burn or blister without sandals. If the author of the Gospel of Mark had the godly play materials at hand, I imagine he would have opened today's gospel in a similar way. The wilderness is a dangerous place. You only go there if you have to. The Gospel of Mark tells us very little about Jesus in his desert fasting. There are many questions left unanswered. I felt a little bit like a Sunday school student listening to this story and seeing it from the perspective of a godly play story and wondering about a lot of questions. How did Jesus spend his time in the desert? Did he chase lizards? Did he hide out in caves to get away from the sun? Did he wonder at the beauty of the desert? Or sing, or stargaze? Or was he simply tempted 24/7? Did the Son of God ever wonder if he was losing his human mind? Did he ever want to die in all of the testing? We don't have answers to these questions. They remain in the wanderings of our imagination, but we do know three things from today's gospel. One, Jesus did not choose the wilderness. Two, the struggle is long. Three, there are angels in the desert wilderness. First, Jesus did not choose the wilderness. He didn't say, hey, this would be an interesting human experiment. Let's call up a travel agent and book a trip to the desert. No, the gospel says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. There was an urge so resistible that it was beyond Jesus himself. As we begin pairing themes of the book A Sacred Voice is Calling, Personal Vocation and Social Conscience, I find it comforting that it wasn't Jesus who chose to go to the desert. Why would I find this so comforting? It feels very true. We don't choose to enter the wilderness. We don't volunteer usually for the wild changes and chances of this life. But the wilderness happens anyway. Hospital stays, a death in the family, a child in crisis. Yesterday I saw multiple cars off the road on 71 freeway. Transition or change in relationship, a leaky roof or a flood in the basement, bouts of depression, moments of panic. The wilderness happens and we almost never invite it, and it insists on itself. Now, I know a question I'm often asked is, if God wills these bad things to happen or if God wants us to suffer, and I don't think that's true, but I do think that God can redeem and give us a new perspective on some of the most challenging wilderness seasons of our lives. Indeed, God's voice can even be heard in the wilderness, calling us. As Debbie Thomas writes, quote, "Our deserts can become holy even as they remain dangerous. Sometimes our journeys with God include dark and desolate places. Not because God takes pleasure in our pain, but because we live in a fragile, broken world that includes deserts. And because God's modus operandi is to take the things of death and wring from them resurrection." End quote. Two, the struggle is long. Jesus spent 40 days in extreme struggle, solitude, silence, deprivation, and temptation. And I imagine that the days and hours and sometimes the minutes felt very, very long. We live in a quick fix culture. If something isn't right, you buy a fix, you take a pill, you move on to the next thing. And this makes wilderness waiting especially trying. We may ask, why are things not changing? Why does this take so long? And where is God? Another question we might ask is, why did Jesus need the wilderness? Why might we need the wilderness? In a sermon about the gospel for today, Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz Weber explored the relationship between temptation and identity, who we are and whose we are. She writes, quote, "Identity, it's always God's first move. Before we can do anything wrong and before we do anything right, God has named and claimed us as God's own. But almost immediately, other things try to tell us who we are and to whom we belong. Capitalism, the weight loss industrial complex, our parents, kids at school, they all have a go at telling us who we are. But only God can do that. And everything else is temptation." End quote. So as we begin a series on God's calling in our lives, we hear what God spoke to Jesus before he went into the desert at his baptism. "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." What have you heard God saying in your life, in the church, that will sustain you in the wilderness? I hope that you hear today that no matter the joys or the struggles, the changes and chances of this life, that you too are beloved and accepted by God. The longer version of the end of the Gospel of Mark includes our baptism as a sign of that belovedness and acceptance, a saving grace. Now, it is wonderful and easy to claim our identity as beloved children of God when we hear it in a time of comfort and peace. At Jesus' baptism, Jesus heard the absolute truth of his identity as a beloved child of God. It came through a voice from his Father in heaven, and that was the easy part. It became a lot harder when he went into the wilderness. It's in the wilderness that Jesus faced every assault on the absolute truth of his identity. It's also where he clarified the truth of his identity. Perhaps it was in the wilderness that Jesus could finally understand the voice he heard from God. John Niefsi writes in the book we're reading for Lent that in the wilderness we must go to learn about the spirits. He writes, "You must go out alone into the wild places." If we have not ourselves experienced and known the wilderness, we, I think, are less likely to hear the voices of wisdom that speak to us out of these places. Maybe the wilderness can serve to help us to really own what it means to be God's beloved. We don't have to be in perfect conditions, and maybe we shouldn't be in perfect conditions to discover who God is calling us to be. We have the potential to become who God calls us to be in all conditions. We can be beloved of God and in the wilderness and who God made us to be all at the same time. And the struggle is long, but the truth emerges in the mess of the struggle, I am confident. Finally, there are angels in the wilderness. There are angels in the wilderness. I don't know, and Mark certainly doesn't tell us what those angels look like, but it's an important enough part of the story for Mark to include the angels waited on him there. Maybe the angels appeared in the form of a soft breeze breaking through scorching heat, a stream with refreshing water, a night of solid rest, shooting stars on a cloudless night. The promise in this gospel is that in the wilderness, angels come. Help comes. Rest comes. Peace and solace and clarity break through the clouds like sunshine. The angels might not come in the forms we expect or prefer, but they come. As Niefsi writes, it could be someone who serves as a prophetic truth teller in our life, who tells it like it is, who shakes us up and challenges us to think about our priorities in a new way. It could be someone who appears as an angel of mercy in a time of need, who speaks just the consoling words we need to hear in a moment of discouragement, or who gives us the kind of advice or perspective we need in a time of personal confusion or darkness. End quote. The wilderness is a dangerous place. You only go there if you have to. This week, we begin the wilderness journey of Lent. And as Christians, this is where we have to go. Year after year, we return. I pray we'll walk into the wilderness with courage, trusting that God will teach us there who we really are. And as the angels remind us of our belovedness in the dry and the parched places, we will listen to them and hopefully believe them. Amen.